turn in our Bibles to the book of Daniel, chapter 10. Daniel, chapter 10. Last week we looked at how Satan, as our adversary, seeks to hinder our prayers. Satan is our enemy, and he always opposes the believer, and he opposes whatever God wants us to do. So praying is an ongoing conflict that believers are engaged in. And we saw how that is a battle for the souls of men, it's a battle for the nations, and it's a battle just in our own lives to be faithful in praying. But tonight, we're going to look at another aspect of theology, angelology and demonology, in other words, angels, both good and evil, and we're going to see how conflict in heaven can affect prayers on earth. Now, we don't have nearly enough time to look at this whole chapter and spend the time that it deserves, but we're just going to sort of quickly go through the main point that I would like to bring out in Daniel chapter 10, and that is how wicked angels affected and were affected by Daniel's prayer. So let's begin in Daniel chapter 10, and let's read verses 1 through 3. In the third year of Cyrus, king of Persia, a thing was revealed unto Daniel, whose name was called Belteshazzar. And the thing was true, but the time appointed was long. And he understood the thing, and he had understanding of the vision. In those days, I, Daniel, was mourning 3 full weeks. I ate no pleasant bread, neither came flesh nor wine in my mouth, neither did I anoint myself at all, till 3 whole weeks were fulfilled. Let's pray. Father, we thank you for your word. We just pray that your Holy Spirit would teach us, Lord, about prayer and help us, Lord, to be encouraged by this. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Daniel chapter 10 begins with Daniel praying, but Daniel was praying all through chapter 9 as well, one of the longest prayers in the Bible. A very long prayer by Daniel takes place in chapter 9, where Daniel was praying for his people, and at the end, God revealed to him that his people had the worst period in human history awaiting them. And he spoke about the 70th week of Daniel, which we know as the tribulation period. And so right after that, we read in chapter 10, here we see Daniel praying again. And he was mourning and fasting. And he was concerned about the spiritual condition of his people. They were not right with God at that point. And also at this point, Daniel is in Babylon. And he was in Babylon because the Babylonians invaded Jerusalem, slaughtered the Jewish people, destroyed the city, and demolished their temple. And now in Daniel 9, Daniel hears that it's going to happen all over again in the future. And so Daniel went into mourning and fasting and praying. And here he doesn't mention in verses 1 through 3 that he was praying as he was fasting, but later on in the chapter it does indicate that. And that's really what fasting was for. It was so that you would have no interruptions in your prayer. There was no value in not eating, just for the sake of not eating. But here we see that Daniel, later on in this chapter, in verses 5 through 9, sees a vision of Jesus Christ. And the vision is virtually identical to the vision that John sees in the book of Revelation, but we'll say more about that one later on. But in verses 10 and 11, Jesus, this angel, he appeared as an angel to Daniel, and he speaks unto him in verse 10, and he says, "Behold, and hand touched me, which set me on my knees and upon the palms of my hands. And he said unto me, O Daniel, a man greatly beloved, understand the words that I speak unto thee, and stand upright, for unto thee am I now sent. So this is Christ telling Daniel that he was sent, Christ was sent to Daniel. And when he had spoken the word unto me, I stood trembling. So Daniel had just spent the last 3 weeks praying. That time had elapsed. And at the end of that, Christ appears to Daniel after praying and fasting for 3 weeks. And Christ, the second person of the Godhead, this was a pre-incarnate appearance of Christ. And Christ tells Daniel that he was sent by the Father to Daniel. And it was so that Daniel might understand the words that were just delivered to him, the prophecies. So here we read in the early verses of this chapter that Daniel was praying for 3 weeks and nothing happened. He was fasting and praying, totally focused on prayer, and didn't God hear his prayer? And then at the end of that time of fasting and praying, the Lord Jesus, a pre-incarnate appearance of him, appears to Daniel and reveals to Daniel God's response to Daniel's prayer. Daniel had no idea what was taking place in heaven, but here the Lord Jesus said, when you prayed, the Father sent me to you immediately to comfort you, to encourage you, to help you understand these words of revelation that were so disturbing to Daniel. And note also that Jesus said unto him that he was sent to Daniel from the first day that he began to pray. So as soon as Daniel began that time of prayer, the Father sent Christ on a mission to minister to Daniel. Amazing. But Daniel knew nothing of it. And Daniel was sitting there by himself praying for 3 weeks, fasting and praying. He knew nothing of what was taking place in heaven. He didn't have any idea that the Father heard his prayer. But he was. God heard his prayer, and God acted on his prayer. And immediately when Daniel prayed, the first day of that 21 days of prayer, the Father sent the Son to minister to him right away. In verse 12, it says, then said he unto me, fear not, Daniel, for from the first day that thou didst set thine heart to understand and to chasten thyself before thy God, thy words were heard. The Father heard his prayer, and Christ said, and I am come for thy words. So why did it take the Lord Jesus 3 weeks to get there? He ascended into heaven in a moment. He's coming from heaven in the twinkling of an eye. Why did it take him 3 weeks? Well, the answer to that question, why God delayed, or it seemed to Daniel that there was a delay, Daniel could never possibly have known the answer to that question apart from supernatural revelation. And we have the record of that supernatural revelation that Daniel received. Now, we don't get this when we pray and wait and wait and wait, and it seems like nothing is happening. God doesn't send an angel to us. God doesn't send a supernatural message to us. We have the scriptures. We have the completed canon. But here in Daniel chapter 10, we get a little glimpse behind the scenes, behind the veil of heaven. And then look in verse 13. Christ told Daniel that the Father sent him to Daniel immediately, and he was withstood in the heavens. Verse 13. But the prince of the kingdom of Persia withstood me 1 and 20 days. But lo, Michael, one of the chief princes, came to help me, and I remained there with the kings of Persia. So who is this prince of Persia? Now, Persia is modern-day Iran. And remember, Daniel was taken to Babylon, but as time went on, the name of the kingdom changed. And the Medo-Persians overtook the Babylonians, and it became the Medo-Persian Empire, and it was called Persia. And so that's really where Daniel was. It was Babylon, but now the name is, the empire is now called Persia. And there was a prince or ruler over the principality of Iran. But this ruler over Iran or over Persia was not an earthly ruler. This was an angelic ruler. And his rank was a principality. Remember in Paul's lists of the different ranks of angels, there were powers and principalities. Well, principality was a rank of angels who were assigned certain regions on the earth, a certain principality. And this prince of Persia was an angel whose region or principality was Persia. And we read here in this passage in verse 13 that this prince of Persia was opposing Christ. So we know that he was an angelic being in heaven, and now we know that he was a fallen angel. Holy angels don't oppose Christ. So this was a fallen angel or a demon who, after Daniel prayed and after the Father sent Christ on his way to Daniel, there was a conflict in heaven. There was an invisible war in heaven. And here this fallen angel, the prince of Persia, was opposing Christ. You know, Paul tells us that in our whole Christian life, including our prayer life, we wrestle against spiritual wickedness in high places. Demonic forces, without even realizing it. When we pray, God moves. Things happen in heaven. We don't see it. We have to take it by faith, but there is warfare taking place in heaven. And these demons have a great influence on the culture and the religion and the politics and the economy of their particular region. So here was Daniel in Persia, and there was war taking place, warfare in heaven, and the fallen angels who had the principality over the region where Daniel was, over a, we would call it modern-day Iran or Persia, this demonic being in heaven withstood Christ in the heavens as he was on his way to Daniel to answer Daniel's prayer. And this word withstood in verse 13 means to take a stand against or to oppose. So here we see this demonic being, the prince of Persia, whose realm was overseeing and influencing Persia in an evil way against God. That's what the demons were involved in. Now, we're not told what actually transpired in the heavenlies for those 21 days. But we do know that while that was taking place, Daniel was in Persia praying, totally oblivious to what God was doing in heaven. God was answering his prayer, and Daniel didn't have a clue. And so why would there be demonic opposition to Christ bringing this revelation and explaining it to Daniel? The revelation of God's future judgment on his people Israel, but also his protection and preservation of his people Israel. Well, the reason why the demons were opposed to that was because Daniel was Jewish. He was a Jewish prophet, and the Jewish people have throughout history been Satan's enemy. And Satan has sought to destroy this people, whether it was the Egyptians trying to drown all their male babies, or whether it was Germany trying to wipe out all the Jews. At different points in history, there has been irrational, satanic hatred against the Jewish people. Now, Daniel was Jewish, but he was also had a high position in the kingdom. So he was a high governmental official in Persia, and he would be able to have great influence for good in that land. And think of what had already happened at this point. God had already stirred up the heart of Cyrus, the king of Persia. And God stirred this man up so that this pagan king suddenly popped into his mind that, I think I'll let the Jewish people go back, and I think I will let them rebuild their city, and I'll even give them resources so they're able to build, and I'll send troops to protect them. There was influence for good working for the Jewish people in Persia at that time. And Satan and his hosts of demons attempted to oppose that. So another reason, not only because Daniel was Jewish and had a high position in the kingdom of Persia, but also the content of the message that Daniel just received. And in chapter 9, we have the revelation of the tribulation period and the cutting off or the crucifixion of the Messiah and other events. And also the destruction of the Jewish temple in the future. So all of these revelations were coming to this Jewish prophet. Certainly the powers of darkness did not want this message delivered to Daniel. They didn't want Daniel's people, the Jews, to hear this message or believe it. And they certainly didn't want Daniel to make a record of it, which we're reading tonight in the book of Daniel. So this was a critical time in Israel's history. And what we see in the background, unbeknown to Daniel at the time, but Christ was occupied in the earthly affairs of the realm of Medo-Persia on earth to assure that God's promises for the preservation of Israel in the future would take place. And so the fallen angels were also occupied and very much concerned about the earthly affairs of what was taking place in the realm of Medo-Persia. And so we read in these chapters, in this section of Daniel, that there were holy angels, Gabriel and Michael, that ministered. Gabriel ministered to Daniel, and Michael was a defender of the Jewish people. They were very active in the background. And so we also see this little glimpse into heaven in chapter 10, the unholy angels, these demonic beings, and in particular this prince of Persia, whose responsibility it was to influence Persia for evil. That angelic demon opposed Christ on his way to Daniel. And look in chapter 10 in verse 13. In the second part of verse 13, it says, "But lo, Michael, one of the chief princes," Jude tells us that he was an archangel, a chief angel, a high-ranking angel, "but lo, Michael, one of the chief princes came to help me, and I remained there with the kings of Persia." So here Daniel is on earth with the earthly political leaders, and Michael, the archangel, came to help the Lord Jesus Christ in this heavenly battle. So why did Jesus need help? He's God. He's omnipotent. Well, Michael didn't come because Jesus needed some reinforcements to back him up. We don't know exactly what was taking place in that conflict. Jesus never needed help. But God does incorporate the help of angelic beings in carrying out his will. He always has and he always will. We read of this many times in the book of the Revelation as well. In Revelation chapter 12, during the tribulation period, we read that there was war in heaven, and Michael and his angels fought against the dragon, and the dragon fought and his angels. So God uses angels, good and evil, in heaven And there are conflicts that take place in heaven that influence events on earth. And so why did Michael have to come to help? Well, evidently, the conflict with that demonic prince, the Prince of Persia, required someone, some angelic being of power and status to continue holding him off in heaven because Christ wanted to leave. So Christ stayed there until Michael came. And when Michael came, Michael maintained that subjugation of this opposition to God's will in the heavenlies. Now, Michael was the defender of Israel, that angelic defender. And therefore, the princes, the future kings of Persia, would now be influenced by Michael for the good of God's will and the good of God's people, as opposed to being influenced by this demonic principality over the land of Persia. And we read in this chapter that this would take place until the kingdom of Greece came. So this was a critical time in Israel's history. And we have a fascinating glimpse into an invisible war in heaven waged that affected the politics, the economy, the religious life, society, and the culture of what was taking place on earth. And I don't know about you, but when I read the insane things that people are accepting all over the world as fact, so anti-biology, anti-science, anti-truth, anti-common sense, and people worldwide are accepting these crazy notions, I can't help but think that that is demonic influence over the nations. Paul says in 1 Timothy chapter 2, I exhort, therefore, that first of all, supplications, prayers, and intercessions and giving of thanks be made for all men, for kings, and for all that are in authority. Why? Because God responds to prayers. Daniel prayed for good, for an influence and protection for his people on earth. And as soon as he prayed, God sent his son to come minister to him. And the Lord Jesus stayed in heaven with that warfare until Michael came to take over that conflict. And then the Lord came down to minister to Daniel. No wonder we're commanded to pray. God answers prayers. And it does affect the politics. It does affect the culture, it does affect the spirit of the age, it does affect the religions and what people believe down here on earth. Remember, there are doctrines of demons. It's not that the individuals who are teaching it are demons, but heaven, in the heavens, there are evil demons that affect doctrine on earth. They affect what takes place in God's world. So we're commanded to pray. Daniel prayed, and look at what happened. Amazing. The father sent his son immediately. Though Daniel didn't know, he kept praying for 21 more days. And Christ entered into a conflict with the powers of darkness in the heavens so that the Jewish people would be protected. And there would be an influence for good in the realm of Persia that enabled the Jewish people to be sent home and rebuild their city and the temple. And God kept his word. And it was also a great expression of God's love for Daniel. He called him beloved. So don't think for a moment that prayer meeting doesn't accomplish anything. When we pray, the Bible tells us whether it's a personal prayer or a corporate prayer, it availeth much. It accomplishes things. Even if we don't see what's taking place in the heavens, even if we don't see anything happening on earth, God wants us to pray believing that he answers prayer and that when we pray, things happen. And we don't have to see it because In one sense, prayer is a test of our faith. It's an expression of our faith. Will we continue praying because God says it's effective and effectual? Or will we quit because we operate by sight? Because we don't see anything happening, we quit praying. So here we see that there was a direct connection between Daniel's prayer and great things that happened in heaven, and that influenced the leaders of the region and brought great protection for the children of Israel. And God kept his will and is carrying out his plan accordingly. Amazing. Let's pray. Our Father, we thank you for your word. We thank you, Lord, that we can know that you do hear our prayers immediately. And Lord, we do know that you respond in a way that best suits you and is best according to your wisdom, Lord, to carry out your plan for good for the ages. So we just thank you for this time that we have tonight to meet together and to pray. And we just ask, Lord, that you would help us to our faith to increase, that we might believe and really trust that when we pray, heaven is moved. And we thank you for that. In Jesus' name, amen.